Daughter of the Morning Star, Disc 3. I figured the Lady Morningstar locker room was no visitors allowed, so I wandered into the hallway where I'd met the athletic director, Tiger Scalpcane. Henry, listening to the screaming inside, was standing by an alcove.
"Sounds instructional,"
he nodded. "Trying to shake them up, maybe scare them a bit."
"You don't think they're scared enough?"
"Standing bear!"
We both turned to see a heavyset woman with an outrageous hairstyle and a black and turquoise sweater adorned with numerous photo buttons. She was entering from the court and heading straight for us.
"They've got to get the ball to my granddaughter."
Henry straightened.
"I do not think that is the problem, Betty."
He gestured toward me. "May I introduce my good friend, Sheriff Walt Longmire?" She turned her formidable bosom toward me, and I could see a button for Jaya and one for Jeannie, clattering among numerous others.
"They aren't passing the ball to my granddaughter, which they should. That girl scored more points than any other player in the state last year."
"That may be true, but the St. Labrée team has at least 3 shooters, and unless she can outshoot all of them, the Lady Morning Stars are going to lose." She looked at me, her sculptured hair bobbing, as if with a life all its own.
"And you're some kind of basketball expert?"
"No, but I know when a team is dysfunctional. Jaya doesn't trust or respect her teammates, and it undermines any discipline. The Stars are better players individually, but the Braves are a better team. And one look at the scoreboard proves it." She stared at me for a moment more and then blew between us and into the locker room. The bear folded his arms.
"Well stated, but I do not think you made a new friend."
There was more yelling, and after a moment, Big Betty was ejected from the locker room. Still screaming at the coach, she stormed down the hallway before turning and looking at me.
"You are the one who is looking for Jeannie and guarding Jaya?"
"Yes, ma'am." She snapped her fingers at me.
"Dinner at our house on Tuesday night. There will be a sweat. Not crow style, so bring swimming trunks. Nobody wants to see your wrinkled old white ass."
She left, and I turned back to the Cheyenne Nation. Did I just agree to something? The door to the locker room sprang open, and Harriet stood there, red-faced.
"No one comes in here. You got me?"
Henry nodded.
"Yes."
Her eyes shifted to me.
"Get in here."
I glanced at the bear and then back to her. "I thought you said no one."
"Get in here."
"Yes, ma'am."
I followed her through the door as Henry set up a blockade I doubted anyone would pass. The players were scattered on benches and on the floor and looked completely exhausted. Felton carried her clipboard to the whiteboard and turned to regard them, first addressing the center.
"Rosie, you've got that other center by a good 2 inches, and I've seen you outjump her in other games, but she's moving you out of the way in the paint like you've got wheels."
I sat at the end of a bench.
"Stacy, if you miss one more shot, I'm going to chain you to the free throw line for the next 6 weeks."
She turned to the next girl.
"And Missy, let me explain to you how this works. The idea is to score more points than the other team, but if you don't shoot, you don't score."
She stepped from the board toward the other bench.
"Winona, what are you smiling about? You think this is funny?"
The young forward sank her head.
"No."
"Then why are you smiling?"
"I don't know."
"Well, don't. There's nothing to smile about, trust me."
Finally, turning to the young woman, leaning against the lockers, appearing to be somewhere else, the coach focused on Jaya Long, who was staring up at the lights.
"Jaya, have you heard a word I've said?"
Turning her head away, she mumbled,
"This doesn't concern me."
Felton stepped in front of her.
"Excuse me?"
Jaya whipped her face around.
"I'm not the problem here."
"Yep, you are." Both she and the coach turned to look at me. Harriet glanced at Jaya and then back to me.
"I can't seem to get through to her."
She stepped back.
"You want to give it a try?"
Jaya started to move toward the door, but I stood, effectively blocking the way.
"Hold up."
Almost running into me, she pulled back, and I thought for a moment she might take a swing at me. But she just stood there, thrusting her chin out. "Who is the captain of this team?" They all looked at one another, Missy Two Bears shyly lifting her hand.
"I guess I am."
I turned back to Jaya. "Do you want to play this game?" She said nothing.
"Do you?
Because right now you're not." I gestured toward the others. "Let me introduce you to your teammates. Without them, you're going to lose this game. I can guarantee it." She made a noise in her throat.
"What do you know about this game?"
"I know enough about sport to win a national championship, but I didn't do it alone." "You want to keep playing?"
You want to win a division, a tournament, a state championship? Well, then you better get your head on straight and start playing team ball. Otherwise, you're going to be the best one-on-one playground player in Lame Deer. You think that's going to punch your ticket to a decent school, the WNBA, or a shoe contract? Think again. She glared at me.
I've had enough of this shit.
I stepped between her and the door again. I don't think your coach is through.
Well, I am.
No, you're not. I pointed toward the bench. Sit. She glowered at me. I said, sit down. She threw herself on the bench, folded her arms, and stared at the floor in a defiant sulk.